I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. Life at best is very brief. We are not upon this planet world forever. We are passing quickly onwards. And it is a most profitable thing for us to do, to listen to the trumpets that sound the word that death is most certainly coming, and we will reap whatever we sow. There are many verses of Holy Scripture that light the red lantern of warning and weave the warning beam into the very hearts of ungodly men and women. In the Word of God, we are taught that life is swift. How swift it is. If you turn over to the fourth chapter of the book of James, you will find these words, "For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and such rejoicing is evil." Life is very, very swift. There is an hour when I must part with all I hold most dear. And life, with its best hopes, will then as nothingness appear. There is an hour when I must sink beneath the stroke of death and yield my life to him who gave it first, my struggling, my vital breath. There is an hour when I must stand before the judgment seat and all my sins and all my foes in awful vision meet. There is an hour when I must look on one eternity and nameless woe or blissful life my endlessness portion may be. O Savior, then, in all my need, be near to me tonight, and let my soul, by steadfast faith, find life at last in heaven with thee. We are going down the valley one by one. Every day that passes, we are passing another milestone in the pilgrimage of life. Our life is very, very swift. We read over in the book of Job, by day are swifter than the post. They fly away. They see no good. Yes, the post. You see, in the old days, they had the teams of horses, speeding fast horses on the roads. And when a message was being sent, the horses started to race down the road to get the package off. And when those horses were tired and sweated and shivering, the riders changed to a fresh lot of horses. And on they went as fast as they could go. And old man Job says, my days are swifter than the post. We're all hastening to eternity. Your death and my death are closer to us now than they have ever been. It may be this night shall not finish without seeing us in God's great eternity. Eternity! Eternity! Where will you be in eternity? But when I look again at my book, I find that life is not only swift, but life is short. James asks the question, what is your life? I was struck with those words this past week. Here are men living and they're going to go into business this week. And when they get out of bed, they settle where they're going, what they're going to do, how long they're going to stay. They're all very wise in their own conceits. But before the even has come, the balloon has burst. The truth has dawned. Life's day is short. For instead of them saying, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that, that would have been the words of a wise man. But their wisdom finished after they made their own decision without God or without providence or without the warning of the book registering in their minds. And what does it say? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The whole of nature is on the move. This is a moving world. It's moving very, very fast. In fact, only for the laws of gravity, we would have been hurled off this amazing earth many years ago. But God set it up. And he set it up in the marvel of his wisdom, so that each person would have exactly the calendar for living on this earth that God had already decided and preordained. You'll not pull a breath after the last breath that's a sign to you. You'll not pull a breath. You are in the hands of God. And the old writer of the hymn was right when he said, there is an hour when I must part with all I hold most dear, and life with its best hopes with thee as nothingness appear. There is an hour when I must sink beneath the stroke of death and yield to him who gave at first my struggling vital breath. There is an hour when I must stand before the judgment seat and all my sins and all my foes in awful vision meet. There is an hour when I must look on one great eternity, a nameless woe or blissful life my endless portion be. O Savior, then, in all my need, be near to me, and let my soul by steadfast faith find life and heaven in thee. O my friend, life is very, very swift, but life is very, very short. We know not what the day will bring forth. But there's something more. Life is shrinking. Every second of time shrinks our life. The great blot is put in our calendar. A day nearer to death and nearer to judgment. We cannot stop the calendar being marked. We cannot stop the haste by which we are carried to the final imprisonment. There is no escape forever from this shrinking. Death will find us out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Yes, you're being shut up every day to finality. You're being shut up every day to eternity. Eternity, eternity, where, sinner, will you be in eternity? Is it not time for you to ask God to put on the shock brakes on the charity of time and call you to grave contemplation of where you're headed for and what the darkness will be and the damnation will be to you if you cross the line into the eternity that is no hope and has no joy, and has no peace, and never ends. Eternity, eternity. Yes, life is swift. Life is short. Life is shrinking. Oh, if I could only bring from the eternal library of God a copy of what lies before you. Oh, that I could open that copy and show you the time and the day and the hour when you'll pass over the river of death to meet the judge of all the earth. And then as I sit and wonder, I say it wouldn't do any good whatsoever, because these people have been warned, and they have been warned by a greater witness than me with a library book in my hand. They have been warned by the Spirit of God. Don't tell me you haven't heard the Spirit of God knocking on the door of your heart. Don't tell me that you've never heard or felt the pressures of the great eternity pressing in upon you. Don't try to hide it. God has been dealing with you and has dealt with you. And yet you're still tarrying. What are you tarrying for? Death, judgment, and hell forevermore. But something else. Death is a shadow. And what a shadow it is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 12, we read that death is a shadow. Death cannot be stopped. You can't stop a shadow. It comes. It goes. It comes quickly. It goes quickly. You cannot hold it back. How quickly the shadow disappears. The great king Hezekiah emphasized this and told us about it. Charles Wesley wrote the words, "Shrinking from the cold hand of death, I soon may gather up my feet. My swift resigns this fleeting breath, and die my father's God to meet. Numbered among thy people I expect with joy thy face to see, because thou didst for sinners die. Jesus and death remember me. Oh, that without a lingering groan I may the welcome word receive. My body with my charge lay down, and cease at once to work and live." I have been preaching on this road for 60 years. I've had many experiences of men and women dying without Christ, dying without hope, dying without peace, and dying only to be damned. I could stay with you for weeks and talk to you about experiences I have. But I had one blessed experience. It will live for me all of time and all of the great coming eternity. I met a young man one day, and he came to Christ. And he said to me, "My mother is a Christian. God has answered her prayer. But I have six brothers, all wild, rebellious sinners. And I'm the only one of my mother's boys has come to Christ. Pray for me that my witness will be faithful. Pray that my mother will be delighted before she dies that she has seen all her family in the kingdom of Christ." And we prayed together. He shed many scalding tears that day. And I didn't see him for some time, and then he came to see me. And he says, "Mr. Paisley, my mother has taken seriously ill. She has asked that you would come out and talk to her. And she has arranged for my six brothers to be there. For she says, I want to be clear of their blood. I want to give a last testimony to them. I've tried to be faithful. I have been faithful. But I also have made my mistakes. But oh, that these boys that I carried in my womb might all be in Christ." I went out to that house. That dear woman was upon her deathbed. But although she was weak, she had an inward strength. And she said, "I'm so glad, Mr. Paisley, that you have come. And I want you to talk to these boys in my presence. And I'm going to pray as you talk to them. And I pray, God, that every one of them this night will come to Christ." I said, that's a tall order, but there's nothing impossible with our God. So they came in. The boy that was a Christian spoke a word of testimony. And then he broke down and he shed his tears. And he named them. And he said, "You're my brothers. Am I going to lose you forever? My mother's going to die. Your mother's going to die. You know it. But we can meet her again. But there'll be no meeting if you're not saved by the grace of God." And then the mother said, "Mr. Paisley, speak for me to these young men." So I took my Bible. I read some scriptures. I brought them to the cross, for only the cross can save. Only the precious blood can make a man clean or a woman clean from their sin. I felt the sweet presence of God. Mommy's amens got stronger as we appealed to her sons to come to God. And then I said, "Look, men, I'm going to leave this room for a minute or two. I'm going to leave you with your mother. And I trust that when I come back again, I'll have the great joy of pointing you each one to Christ." They were all crying now. The Spirit of God was hearing a mother's prayer and was answering a mother's prayer. I went out for a few minutes. It was only a few minutes. And then one of them came out and said, "Mr. Paisley, come right in." And I went back in. And the oldest boy, he said, "We've got to settle this, Mr. Paisley. And we're going to settle for our mother's God and our mother's Savior. Lead us to Christ." And around that bed, we knelt with a mother's prayer and a holy stream of prayer and petition to heaven loudly heard. And one by one, each one of those big, hard sinners cried, "God, be merciful. God, be merciful. God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And when the last one was in, mother started to sing. She wasn't a singer, but she sang better than any other singer could sing, an old gospel hymn. And soon the whole family were all singing. And I said, "You know, we're maybe not singing too well, but we have great music in heaven. For there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over a sinner that repents. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Death is a shadow, but it's a shadow that can be removed. When the harvest is past, when the summer is gone, and sermons and prayers shall be o'er, when the beams cease to break of the blessed Lord's day morn, and Jesus invites us no more, when the rich gales of mercy no longer shall blow, the gospel no message declare, sinner, how canst thou bear the deep wailings of woe? How suffer the night of despair? When the holy have gone to the regions of peace, to dwell in the mansions above, when their harmony wakes in the fullness of bliss, their songs to the Savior they love. Say, O sinner, that livest at rest and secure, who fearest no trouble to come, can thy spirit the swellings of sorrow endure, or bear the impenitent's doom? You can't do it. You need to cast your sins at the foot of the cross now. But death is not only what I have told you it is. It's not only swift. It's not only short. It's not only shrinking. It's not only a shadow. But death is sudden. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You wise people, you think you're wise in the morning, but before midnight comes, you're shown to be a fool, because your life is not controlled by you, but it's controlled and governed by the rule of Almighty God. May God this night speak to your heart, my sinner friend. May God speak, dear backslider, to your heart. And may you come to that cross, and may you call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, saved forevermore. God grant you'll close with Christ this night. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wouldst light the solemn word of God in the hearts of all who have heard it. Lord, time is short. We are hastening on a place that knows us today, tomorrow shall know us no more forever. Here we have no continuing city. but we seek one to come. Lord, I pray that this night souls may come to Christ. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me say to you a final word. You need to come. I'm here to help you. It's my business to point souls to Christ, to evangelize, to bring you to the Savior. I'll be in this room right behind the pulpit immediately. We have this final prayer. Come, let's talk together. Let's pray together. Let us get this matter decided for all eternity. 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 Where, oh, where will you be in eternity? The rock that is higher than I, lead them to the Son of God, who saves to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name.